turn with us to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 18. Matthew 1 and verse number 18. I love to hear them Bible pages turning. Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for this good time together. Lord, realizing that we celebrate at this time that of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, that it's not about trains and planes. Thank you, Lord, that it is about you on this morning. We've come together to worship you and to exalt you. And Lord, I need your help in the preaching. I pray that you would bind the wicked one today. You would loose our tongue. Open our hearts. Lord, that we may glorify you and honor your Son. Help us now to let preaching be easy. In Christ's name we pray. In Christ's name we ask you. Amen. And amen. Devil hates preaching. Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. I want to preach a little while this morning on the Christmas story. The Christmas story. I want to share three thoughts out of what the Bible teaches about Christmas. Number one, there was the reservation of Christmas. I'm glad God had made a prior reservation about Christmas. He was sure to be checked in into this world. And all the devils of hell couldn't keep him from being checked into this world. There's the reservation of Christmas. Then secondly, there's the observation of Christmas. And then lastly and mostly and most graciously, there is the salvation of Christmas. Now, you'll notice in Matthew 1 and 18, the Bible story unfolds. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, talking about the reservation of Christmas. So if there was a reservation of Christmas, there had to be an absence of Christmas. What did people do before Christmas? I was raised in a home when Christmas was the highlight of our year. We might get to do something on summer vacation, but you know, Christmas, there's a time of like nothing else in all the days of the year like Christmas. And I can tell you, before the Lord Jesus came, there was an absence of Christmas. What did people do before Christmas? I can remember what I did before Christmas. I did a lot of things that I'm very ashamed of this morning. But I'm glad one day there was a birth in my heart and Christmas was brought forth. Now, there was an absence of Christmas. God knew that we needed Christmas. Aren't you glad we got a God that foreseen the need of Christmas? In Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 21. The Bible says this, "But now the righteousness of God without the law was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace
through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now the reservation of Christmas. There was a time there was an absence of Christmas. But God realizing we were sinners. I wouldn't get up on a seat and gloat too much about what me and you can do. But it's about what God did for us by sending His only begotten Son. And therefore He seen the need of Christmas. And boy, I'm glad God seen the need of Christmas. And then number two, turn with us to Micah chapter number 5. Turn with us in your Bible to Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2. Micah 5 and verse number 2. Not only the absence of Christmas, but now let's notice the announcement of Christmas. I'm glad somebody said Christmas was coming. Now he used a prophet in Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And then we find the great chapter, the great verse in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6 about not only the absence of Christmas, but the announcement of Christmas. In Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Can somebody say wonderful this morning? If y'all don't think it's a real devil, you ought to try to preach on Christmas. I'm going to read this verse. If it ain't a cow in Texas, I'm a preaching this sermon this morning. And I don't care if every devil's done dumped up in Liberty Baptist Church. I'm going to preach before I leave this place this morning. If I got to eat every hole in that drawer over there, I'm going to eat it so I can get this word out this morning. Don't we'll have tag team preaching today. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son's given. I'm glad we didn't have to buy him. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to say he's wonderful because he's got a heart to love us. He's got a hand to guide us. But he's got a home one day yonder in morning world to receive us. And thank God I'm headed to his home one day. Thank God. And boy, he's wonderful. Because he's got a heart that loves us. And a hand that leads us. And a home one day to receive us. But we see here that the old prophet made an announcement about Christmas. And he said, hey, Christmas is coming. There was a reservation of Christmas. Not only the absence of Christmas and the announcement of Christmas, but look in the text in Matthew 1:18. There's the arrival of Christmas. What a day. At the arrival of Christmas. It's fixing to be Christmas morning. What an arrival. Matthew 1:18. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it's quite interesting to me. Matthew 1 and 18, the arrival of Christmas. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When it is his mother Mary was espoused. That's not exposed.
And I want you to notice that something happens in Matthew 1:15. The Bible said, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Nathan, and Nathan begat Jacob. Now, 39 times the word begat was used till it came to Joseph in verse 16. Look what the Bible says. It totally changes. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who's called Christ. Joseph wasn't the daddy. Then notice this in verse 25. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her, not their, but her firstborn. The Holy Ghost. That's why I like the King James Bible. It's perfect. He expressly writes down that the Father of the Son of God was the conceived. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. God's only begotten. Joseph had nothing to do with it. Now, love what happens. We talk a lot about Mary. But I want you to think just a minute about Joseph here in verse 19 on this arrival. Watch. And Joseph, her husband, not the father, but her husband. He's a just man. He was a fine man. He was upright. And he was willing, he was not willing to make her a public example, who was minded to put her away privately. Now, sometimes you'll wonder what God's doing. He couldn't figure out. He said, now listen. He said, we're espoused. That was more than an agreement. That was more than an engagement. He had to write to her parents saying, I'm taking your daughter, Mary, as a bride. And I'm going to provide and see about her. But all of a sudden, she comes with child. And he said, now wait on just a minute now. Something ain't right about this picture. He said, I kept myself and I know that. But you, something wrong with you, girl. Now watch what the Bible does. Verse number 20. Now he's just human. And you know, it'd be a good day when you realize you're human. It'd be a good day when you realize that this mind will think things that it ought not be a thinking. These hands and feet will do things sometimes it ought not be a doing. These eyes will say things, see things. These mouths will say things you don't need to be saying. He was human. Look, but while he thought on these things, boy, I'm glad God will come by and clear things up. Look what he tells him. This is good advice to all young men. I'm going to give you some good advice right here if you can take it. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, thy wife. She's all right. She ain't two-timing you, boy. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, he just got divine instruction. And you know what the divine instruction for every young man here is? Marry a woman whom Christ dwells. That'd help every marriage here if every young man would marry a girl in whom Christ dwells. My Lord, that ain't helping nobody but me this morning. I seen that after one of the old writers, and he said, you know what? Wouldn't that be a blessing if everybody married a girl that was full of Christ? Boy, wouldn't that solve our homes this morning? Wouldn't be near as much ratchet jawing, would it? Wouldn't be near as much pan slanging, would it? Boy, I'm telling you, aren't you glad God, the good God of glory, can come by and cover up and look in on our doubts of where our minds are going? Why, he thought on these things. You know what he was thinking? I thought she was a good girl. I've kept myself. Now she's went out behind my back. I can't marry a woman like this. God come. And he said, you're going to do fine, boy, and marry this little old girl. Boy, and it's something when God can give you a word about something and clear something up in your life that you're wondering about. And I'm going to tell you, just because you love God and you're serving God, don't think it ain't room for doubt in your mind this morning. Because the devil can make you doubt about a bunch of things. But I'm glad in a service a good Holy Ghost can come by and give you a word from Glory Land World. Saying it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, glory to God. Boy, I'm glad I found me a little old girl in Bowden, Georgia, in whom Christ dwells. Hey, girls, you ain't got no ordinary mama. You got a lady that Christ dwells. Hallelujah. We ought to kick the back end out of our choir robe this morning. And thank God He's been good enough to us to let us marry women whom Christ dwells. Hallelujah. You marry your beer joint woman, you have your beer joint woman. Marry your woman filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Get me a Phil Robertson Bible cover. Ain't a backing down. The reservation of Christmas. The absence of Christmas. The announcement of Christmas. And the arrival of Christmas. And then notice, if you would, not only this reservation of Christmas, look at the observation of Christmas. Matthew 1:21, notice His name. The Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, and this offends the liberal crowd this morning. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why does this offend the liberal crowd? Here it is, for He shall save His people from their sin. We're all sinners. But I'm glad God sent us a Savior. And friend, I don't back up on that word Jesus. It's a name above all names. Hey, this world will let you say something about God. But when you say something about His Son, about the Lord Jesus, you draw a line in the sand. Hallelujah. I want to be the first to say glory to God in the highest for a Savior this morning. He got me out of hell. Putting me into His world by His Son. He's a Savior born. Thank God He shall save His people. Look, plural, from their sin. Don't think you can't, honey. Because it's in you to do it. Don't say mine won't. Be careful. I done been preaching a long time. Hey, 20 years this morning. We're celebrating 20 years this morning as a church come together on a high chair saying, you know what? God can. And you know what? God still can. And if I could give you some advice, I'd say stay on your knees and you won't have far to fall. And I sure am glad He sent us a Savior to save His people from their sins. We would have drowned it in our sins, plural. Boy, He loves us. Isn't that amazing? He come for sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He come for the down and outers. We better be a down and outer church. We better be interested in those that everybody else don't want that's stooped in religion. You listen to me, friend. Yes, sin is sin. And sin will find you out. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that'll forgive you of your sin. And when you sin, you're not cast to the curb. Thank God He come for sinners. And we better get indoctrinated in this great doctrine. He loves sinners. Yes, He wants us to be separated, unspotted from this world. There's nobody here perfect. They were some boys going to throw some rocks one day. Jesus said, let the one that ain't got no sin cast the first stone. And you'll notice He said, you that are without sin. He didn't say us, did He? He'd had to throw one. Because He didn't have any sin. But we're sinners saved by grace. Aren't you glad there's a Savior loved us?
This is what amazes me about salvation. Not only does He save us, He keeps us saved. Boy, there was the reservation of Christmas. I'm glad God seen a need. And He made a reservation for His Son. I never will forget, the young uns was little. We won a trip up in the Rockies. We flew in. Megan Mason never been on an airplane. They held little hand. Little Megan was praying for the plane took off. We landed. Guys, a rental car had a Taurus wagon. Somebody say amen. We went up that mountain, got them babies out. Man, I walked in that place, you know. I was Mr. Big Pepsi Man, done won this big trip. Walked in, old man looked at me, had a big book on his desk. He pulled his glasses down and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm Ken Bowman." He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Bowden, Georgia." He looked at his book and he got to worry me, Miss Peggy. He kept flipping pages. That's what he said. "I ain't got you down." And I'm glad I got a reservation for I'm wrote down this morning. When I get there, I'm glad Brother Mike, he can go pull the book and said, "Your name ain't here." Thank God He said ahead. Made me a reservation because of His Son. Have you got that reservation this morning in heaven? Boy, I'm going to tell you, God reserved a place in this old world for Himself. Isn't that amazing? He is a king, but He became a baby. Most kings become a baby to be a king, but He was so good He was a king and became a baby. God reserved a place for Him in a little old lowly stable. And so there's the arrival of Christmas. It came in the reservation, and there's the observation, His name. It means Savior in verse 21. "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." There's the name. But then notice this. You'll notice in chapter number 2, there's a need. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He that's born King of the Jews? For we've seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." Hey, Brother Jack, that fellow on TV, he wrote that book and said he wasn't the Messiah. Well, verse number 2 said He is. "Where is He that's born King of the Jews?" The Holy Ghost ain't made no mistake. Big TV preacher wrote a book and said Jesus was not the Messiah. Well, he ain't been reading the Bible I'm reading out of. "Where is He that's born King of the Jews? For we've seen His star in the east and we've come to worship Him." There's the need. Let me tell you, every man has a need, and it's to worship. And you're here today and you'll worship something. But I'm going to tell you, wise men still seek to worship Him. I'm glad we can go to church. We can worship Him in spirit and in truth. The body, soul, and spirit. The soul makes us self-conscious, who we are. The spirit makes us God-conscious. The body's going to die and go to the grave. The spirit's got to be made alive by His spirit because we worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm glad the Spirit of God, when they quickened me, made me alive, made my spirit alive. Now when I die, my soul and spirit will go to heaven to be with Jesus. My body's going to the graveyard. But honey, when that trump sounds, this old body's a getting up. He's a getting a new body. That soul and spirit's coming back, being reunited with my body, like Christ's body. And I'm going to live for all eternity with Him. All because of His Son. And He come to be a Savior. And He's put that need in our heart to worship. And I'm glad I'm worshiping Him in spirit. And wise men still seek to worship Him. There's the observation of Christmas. Not on the name, the need, but look now in verse number 3. There's the nuisance. Have you always noticed this? One more point and I'll be done. Have you always noticed this? Every place God's blessed, the devil's always raised his head. You watch this. When God puts a blessing in your life, the devil will attack and fight everything that's going on in your life. You'll notice when Jesus was baptized, the next chapter, and the devil tempted Him 40 days and 40 nights. Every time that there is an outpouring of heaven, there's an opposition of hell. If you're trying to live for Jesus, the devil's going to stick his nasty head up. Boy, I'm glad he's fighting me instead of got me. Now watch what happens. And Herod, verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he is troubled in all Jerusalem with him." You know why? Christ was a rivalry.
Herod thought he was the king, but they're crying, "Where is the king of the Jews? We've heard he's born in Bethlehem." And then Herod raises his head up. He goes to the wise men. Now watch this. I was reading and I had this thought, Brother Duane. I was reading the Bible. Herod went to the wise men and said, "When did you see his star?" They give him about that time. So he went back there to the homeland and he made a decree to kill every male child 2 years old and under. Now that's pretty cruel, isn't it? I'm talking about King Herod seeing a rivalry. He didn't want to be taken off the throne. He thought he was the king. But he heard Jesus was coming and he wanted to kill him. Not worship him, he wanted to kill him. And that's what Herod's doing in this world this morning. He's wanting to stomp out the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember, Christian, you remember, weary pilgrim. Honey, let me tell you, they've never loved Jesus and they'll never love Jesus. But I'm glad we that are born again by the grace of God can love Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now watch this. He killed them young'uns. The Bible said there was weeping like Rachel. Weeping like was unforgivable. Can you imagine going into your home? The little girl, young people, that was shot and killed. She died last night. In the school. Young boy walked in, shot her, then took his life. She died last. There's a mom and daddy going to bury a child about Christmas. And you say, "Well, preacher, I've not been blessed." Oh, honey. Oh, honey. Oh, honey. Oh, honey, that little thing sat on my lap there while her mama sung the choir. Well, oh, honey. Herod went out and decreed all the male children be killed 2 years ago. Some authors I read about this last night said it wasn't many there. Could have been under 100, could have been over 100. But could you imagine the crying, the weeping of babies? You say, "Preacher, that's so..." Let me tell you, that's wickedness. Would you agree with me that's wicked? A man that had a rivalry to take him off the throne, put a decree to go in your house and kill every male child in your home 2 years older. That's devastation, is it not? What if the mayor in Bowden said every child in Bowden 2 years old and under is to be killed? What would we think? It'd be an outcry. Let me tell you, why don't we say something about the 55 million babies been killed in America? Boy, we just done got the gospel hard and we just really don't care. I mean, it don't affect us no more. We live in a culture where so much heathenism, nothing bothers us. But we read a Bible story about a king killed maybe 100 babies and we say, "How brutal! How afflicted!" And he is. But let me ask you something. What you think God's looking at America kill 55 million innocent babies? And America condoning same-sex marriage. Don't stand up and say it's wrong for homosexuals to marry now. If you do, you're going to go against the grain. Well, honey, let me tell you, this Bible still calls it an abomination. He still calls it a sin. And I don't care what liberal says it's right. It ain't right. And it won't ever be right. We think about Herod the king. Look what we've done in our land. I wonder what God's thinking about America. 55 million babies killed. We think, man, he was cruel. You remember the old king, Brother Lee, they set up idols in the old time in the kings of Elijah. And they sacrificed them babies to them pagan gods. They would build idols and they had a big fireplace and they would take their babies and they'd cast them in the fire to Dagon. Man, we think how cruel, how afflicted, how deranged, how messed up in the mind. How messed up in the mind could we be to be a slaughterhouse for 55 million babies? We're messed up in America. You say, "Preacher, you was born out of your time." No, I wasn't. God knows exactly what I was doing. He knows what He is doing. You say, "Well, I wouldn't say that." That's why you ain't the preacher. You ain't got the guts. little pansy-looking something. But I can tell you today, friend, there's a God in heaven that loves sinners. And America better be getting on her face and realizing He sent the Son to be the Savior. My throat's cleared up and done got mean. Ain't I preaching right to you? Ain't I telling it right?
Verse 16 of Matthew 2, Herod, when he saw that he was mocked and the wise men was exceedingly wroth, sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Can you imagine them grandparents?
Can you imagine when he come and got them little old male childs as expecting to be with this week and he got them?
Sort of sobering, is it not? Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. Let me tell you something.
I know we got to go home. This Bible ain't out of date. Newspapers just ain't caught it. It's way ahead of anything that's going on in this world. That happened, what the prophet said. Let me tell you, it's still coming what the prophets are saying. If it lines up to this book. Lastly, there is the reservation of Christmas, the observation of Christmas, but thank God there's the salvation in Christmas. In Luke chapter number 2, Miss Sherry, you be coming if you would, and whatever we need this morning. But in Luke 2 and 25, this is a wonderful story. The Bible said in Luke 2, 21, when 8 days were accomplishing for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Here it is, the salvation of Christmas. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem
whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should see the death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. They came by the Spirit in the temple, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled those things which were spoken of him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. All right, 3 thoughts. I'm done. First of all, the salvation of Christmas. It was a personal revelation. In verse 25 and 26, the Holy Ghost showed unto this man the Savior. I'm glad the Holy Spirit's still knocking on our heart. Ma'am, let me ask you something. Sir, could I ask you something? The Holy Spirit comes by in services and knocks on your heart and says, you know, there's salvation. Don't you want salvation? I'm glad the Holy Spirit gets His job done today. He came by Simeon and showed to him the Christ child. I wonder if the Holy Spirit showed you anything. So we see in this salvation of Christmas, not only there's a personal revelation, but there had to be a personal reception. In verse 28, then took he him up in his arms. You've got to receive Christ. Boy, I'm glad we can receive Him by faith through grace.
I talked to somebody this week. They said, preacher, I've done way too much. No, you hadn't. No, you hadn't. The blood of Jesus is still washing sinners clean this morning. And so we see that in this salvation of Christmas, it was a personal revelation, it was a personal reception, but there's a personal reaction. In verse number 9, He brought peace. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Anointed, the Lord." Glad He brings peace. Some of you looking at peace, trying to find it in everything. Why don't you just receive Christ as your Savior and enjoy the peace like you've never had peace? Let me tell you, I've tried a lot of things in this life, but I've never had peace like what Jesus gives me. Thank God for the peace. Then, give Him praise in verse 30. The Bible said, "The angel said to her, 'Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.'" And I sure am glad that we can praise. And the Bible said, verse 49, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Oh, a personal reaction. I'm glad salvation's personal. It brought peace. It brought praise. Boy, and then He brought a proclamation. He said, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy." Holy. Holy. Holy is His name. This morning, don't know of a better time than Christmas to receive the greatest gift that you could ever receive. You think about the greatest gift anybody's ever give you. It's probably gone. It's completed. But I want to tell you this, of the Lord Jesus Christ, He just keeps on giving. And I love Him and I praise Him. You stand with us this morning. Whatever you need in your life, you come.